The Undercover Capes Podcast Network proudly presents a series all about the amazing people behind the titles and characters we love. Welcome to Creator Spotlight.
Welcome again to another episode of Outside the Panels. This time we are way outside the panels. Not talking to just a comic book creator anymore. We're now talking to Steve Kirk, organizer of this weekend's Intergalactic Con, all the way over in sunny San Diego. Steve, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing real good, Johnny. How are you doing?
I'm very well. We're just about to have a bit of a hurricane thing going on in the UK. Well, I say hurricane, a storm. So looking forward to that, to get rid of all this lovely sunny weather that we've been having. But hey, over in San Diego, it never rains, right?
Not very often, I'll tell you that. We're, you know, that it's about 364 days of sunlight a year.
I am well, Joe. If you had a football team, I'd move, right?
Yeah, fair. Yeah, we don't really do real football over here too well. Sorry about that.
Hey, I'm an NFL fan, so I've been a Dolphins fan for like since the '84 season. So
all right,
you could argue that I'm not a football fan either. All right, excellent. So, Steve, we're here to talk about Intergalacticon. I have a bit of a confession to make. My nana, bless her cotton socks, she could never say Battlestar Galactica. It would come out wrong. All right, so the Intergalacticon would absolutely put her false teeth in knots.
Oh, bless her.
So thank you for the creative name. So what is it about Intergalacticon? Why set up another con in Con Central San Diego?
Well, that's almost the answer right there. Is we've got the big granddaddy of all the cons, San Diego Comic-Con, right here. Mm-hmm. And as everybody knows, it sells out in a heartbeat, right? It's bigger than a lot of rock concerts. So it turns out there's a lot of people, especially locally, who just never actually get the chance to go to something like that because it's just – it's gotten to that point they don't have the opportunity to go. Or in other scenarios, and I've heard this a lot over the last year and a half of planning, there's a lot of people that just are not comfortable with something that big. It's too uncomfortable for them to go – you know, into a crowd of 100,000 of their closest personal friends. So creating something smaller in more of a mid-tier range, I like to call it, where we can provide kind of a broad set of content and programming and make it physically big enough that people don't feel like they're crowd surfing down Bourbon Street at Mardi Gras. And still have access to go do and participate in all the events that they want to, because that's kind of been a little bit of a downside of the big cons is as they keep getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. You hear the veterans tell the new guys, you know, have a plan B and a plan C because you're not going to be able to do everything you want to do. So we've tried to take those experiences to heart and say, how can we create – I kind of call it a next gen con experience, but how can we make this more accessible and give people more of what they want and build this experience to something that meets their expectations?
Great. Cool. Sounds like an ambitious plan, especially when you think people go to cons for different reasons. As you say, the granddaddy has, it's more of a major event than a comic book thing, which is, it used to be. It used to be all about the comic books.
Right.
But now people kind of go for different reasons, whether it's the big two promoting the next big event, the amount of cosplayers that are kicking around. Over here in the UK, we have mini cons quite frequently.
Yep.
And I'm always left disappointed at how many non-comic book retailers there are. And it seems to cater more for cosplay. And you know what? I've got no problem with cosplay.
Mm.
So how do you kind of get around that whole trying to fit everybody's own little sort of corner of the universe and into one venue?
It's an interesting balancing act, I'll tell you that. It's where between, you know, the panel programming and the artists and exhibitors, and we've gotten I'm really actually incredibly shocked at how much interest we've had on both sides of the aisle there. We have people on wait lists because there's just been so much demand to get in and be part of the show. But so kind of back to that point is knowing that we're aiming at a broad set of demographics at gamers and anime fans and people who like movies and comic book fans and cosplayers and the whole kind of universe, trying to be selective about getting content and artists and exhibitors that represents a little bit of all of them. So it's, we do have, you know, some local comic book artists who can kind of cater to that area. And we have some people who do things for cosplay, and we have, you know, other sorts of arts and trinkets and stickers and posters and illustrators and people who do anime and manga. And we have a game room. So you want to play games. We've got a LAN party going on. We've got board games going on. So it's trying to get, it is kind of that old cliche of a little bit of everything for everybody. So we're not overly focused on one area, but especially for his first year, let's try and put a good foot forward in providing a little content for all the different fandoms.
Okay, cool. So are we saying there's going to be a quota, sort of like we've already got 13 Harley Quinns, we don't need a 14th. Pick up an outfit.
We have, you know, when it comes to the artists and exhibitors, we've had to do that a little bit because we've had, you know, certain types of artists come in droves, and we have ultimately had to make some selections to say, well, I don't need any more of that type of artist. We need to make room for other types of things. So, yeah, I mean, we've had to do that.
Cool. What's your interest, may I ask? So, are you kind of like a fan of all the different aspects, or do you lean towards one particular genre or niche?
I right now, my biggest fandom is Star Wars. I'm a huge Star Wars nerd.
Don't I haven't seen Solo yet, so no spoilers.
Okay, I won't say anything about how Han Solo is really Snoke. Oh my god!
Oh
yeah,
my
sorry.
God. See, if they named it Chewbacca, I'd have gone day one. But
oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So I am notoriously bad at seeing movies in time for when they come out. So I still haven't seen Black Panther yet, so that's how bad I am.
That's right.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so one of my favorite Marvel comics back in the day used to be the old Star Wars book. So Ron Friends and David Michelinie, so that's cool. So when you say you're a Star Wars fan, is that all the way from A New Hope? Do you like the prequels? And now do you like the, what do you call them? Sequels, I guess.
The sequels,
sequels.
Yeah, you know, everybody always ends up with that question of what's your favorite Star Wars movie and how do you rank them? And, you know, every time a new movie comes out, well, how does that fit in your rankings now? Well, A New Hope has always, and I think probably will always be my number one favorite. It's the quintessential classic that, it started it all. It's so well self-contained. And, you know, even if you harp on any of the acting or the effects or whatnot, they were still fantastic for the time. And it just, I guess being old enough that I actually saw it in theaters.
Me too.
Yeah. It just holds a special place for me. So I don't know that anything can come along, no matter how cinematically or technologically amazing it is, that could knock it out of first place.
Hey, I agree. I think when that Star Destroyer comes over the crest of Tatooine,
you
know, it's still a fantastic shot. It's still a piece of cinema history. For the record, it does go 5, 4, 6, 3, 2, whatever number The Force Awakens is.
Last 7.
Jedi.
Yep.
Thank you. 7, 8. Then The Clone Wars.
Yeah, all right.
The cartoon show.
Yep.
And then maybe the holiday special, and then right at the end, The Phantom Menace.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Yeah.
For me, personally. Although, yeah. I've got to say, I'm absolutely loving Star Wars Rebels. I thought that was a really good show.
Oh, it was quite well done, yeah.
I thought that encapsulated enough for a mixed audience.
It did.
Obviously, because it's for, like, kids, but there has to be enough resonance for us older fans to get into it.
Yeah, it's got nice crossover that way. It was really well done.
Cool. So, sci-fi fan, Star Wars fan, looking through the website, which is at www.intergalacticconsd.com. Check me out with the plug there.
Nicely done.
That you have, thank you. It's like I've been doing this for a while. I see that you've got designer of the Death Star, Colin Cantwell, coming.
I did tell you I was a Star Wars fan, yep.
Yeah, that's no moon. That is actually a space station. And also, looks like top of the bill, you've got every fanboy's possible TV heroine idol in Claudia Christian from Babylon 5.
She is so amazing. She's been such a sweetheart to work with. I just love her to death.
People might not realize she was also in Highlander, wasn't she? She was Highlander Raven for a little bit.
Yeah, eh?
Oh, I used to love the Highlander TV show.
Used to.
Yeah. What can I say? So what time does the event kick off on is it Saturday it kicks off, yeah?
Well, we're actually kicking it off Friday night at 7 p.m. with a VIP party.
Whoa, hey.
Yeah, good way to kick off a con, eh?
Defo.
And then Saturday it will really kind of soft open at 9 a.m. when we start our first workshop. Speakers are started at 10. Everything runs till 6. There's a dinner break, and then we throw an after party.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like a blast. I wish I was closer because I would certainly be on the way. So what's been the hardest part of organizing all this then?
Finding time to fit 27 hours of work in a 24-hour day. the first year is the hardest. I've run cons for 20 years, so thankfully this is not my first time at the radio. But in the last couple months leading up to it, that's where things really start hitting the road, and you're in time crunches, and everything has to be done, and you can't put it off anymore. And there's just a lot of work to be done, whether it's designing and ordering merchandise or putting the program together or, handling exhibitors that have to drop out at the last minute, making new decisions, and then realizing, oh, man, we've got so many. I wonder if we can change the layout and fit in 5 more exhibitors and try not to drive the hotel completely bonkers while sending them new layouts every week.
I imagine that's a really considering try to go for that middle tier. That's quite a balancing act if you think, can I get another 5? And then where do you draw the line from moving past that point where you think, oh, my God, we're going to have too many people?
Yeah, it is a really difficult thing. We were originally planning on about 20 exhibitor booths, and we ended up expanding it to about 30. So we kind of, moved things around a little bit and expanded a little bit. But then this is where kind of having the experience of running a con comes into play, is you still have to think about things, all the logistics, like what's the traffic flow going to be? Are you going to create any choke points for people moving around? And those start to become the hard lines you don't cross. So when you expand to a certain level, you start looking at it going, you know what? That's all we can do. Otherwise, we start creating problems for ourselves.
Cool. I wish some of the cons I went to in the UK thought like that. More bottlenecks than ever. Bottle factory.
Yeah, those are tough, I tell you.
So you say you've been in cons for a while now. Which cons have you worked on? Which have been the most successful, do you think, that kind of stick out in the memory?
Yeah, so there was one big con that I worked on for almost 20 years. It's called DEF CON, and it's, in polite company, we refer to it as a computer security conference, but, in reality, it's a hacker con. Oh, travesties. But, yeah, so when I started working with DEF CON, it was kind of the size of a large party. We were about 150 people. And these days, it's 25 to 27,000 people, and they just had their first show over in China. Wow. So I've been through that ride of working with lots of different sizes of hotels. DEF CON's held in Las Vegas every year, so that's an interesting place. Yeah, for lots of reasons. And so
version of this conversation, please check out the website on
you're right. Yeah. And so seeing it grow over those years and learning the experience of running a con and how to interact with the hotels and with things like fire marshals and layout planning and food and beverage and housing and banquets and, you know, just the whole, everybody that has to be involved with these things and seeing, you know, there are tiers as you get up to 1,000 people, 2,000 people, 5,000 people, 10,000 people. How do things have to move and shift in your layout, in your organization? How many people do you need for this function to operate successfully with this many attendees? So I can leverage all that in this first year. And I've honestly had several people, as we've talked through it, sit here and say, wow, you're where in your first year, you're where a lot of cons are 5 to 7 years later. Because they have to go through it several times to kind of create that foundation, create their organization, learn how it all works. I can get a little bit of a jump start on all that because I've been through that.
Cool. That sounds like a man of experience. So, imagine this is your first con.
Mm.
As an attendee rather than the organizer, what is in your backpack of survival for cons?
Well, first and foremost, I always start off with carry water and stay hydrated. That's something I see people fail at so often because it's so easy to just get caught up in the energy and the excitement, and then you forget to eat and drink, and you've still got to take care of yourself and make sure it's not a – you don't have any unpleasant memories. Because I, again, work in other – I've seen people have health and situational issues that have required ambulance calls, so those things happen. Yeah.
Yep.
So, so, you know, stay hydrated. I like to, we developed this thing at DEF CON. We call it the 3-2-1 rule, which I think is important for hardcore con goers to understand and live by. And it represents that you get a minimum of 3 hours sleep a night, 2 meals, and 1 shower.
Okay.
Not necessarily in that order, but all three are important. Yeah.
Cool.
Other than that, then, you know, it depends on what you're going to the con to experience. Everybody want, like you said earlier, everybody is looking for something slightly different. They have their own personal reason why they're going. So, you know, a lot of people want to go see the merchandise and buy things. They're looking for that exclusive Funko Pop or something. So bring cash. Cash is fantastic. The other side, and this seems to be a thing or not at certain cons. Some cons only take cash, don't take credit. So maybe you aren't comfortable carrying $200-$300 worth of cash around. You want to use a credit card. Well, do your research ahead of time and see if anybody takes credit cards there. Luckily we do. So we've got that covered. That actually came up in talking to some of the cosplayers. People in their elaborate outfits tend not to have pockets. So they don't have room to carry a bunch of cash around. They're like, I just want to carry my one credit card under the belt. I'm like, all right, well, we'll take our credit cards then. I understand that.
Sounds like a plan. Okay, so yeah. Credit cards. So that does that include stuff like Android Pay and Apple Pay and stuff like that then? Or is it just cards? Or?
I think right now, you know, especially in America, the touch pay systems just haven't caught on yet, so they're not as widely accepted. They're getting there. It's just going to take a while. America's a little slow that way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I very rarely carry cash now. I'm very much a tap-and-go kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Okay, so water, stay hydrated. Other advice, don't fondle the cosplayers.
Yeah, don't do that. Be, you know, our policy is kind of, I say kind of simple. I don't mean to underplay it or say that's not important, but instead of having 3 pages of legalese saying here's our policies, you know, like we have a prop policy that says, you know, don't bring real weapons, tie your, you know, if you've got a bow and arrow, tie your bows in the quiver and keep them there. Kind of common sense stuff. In the bottom of the policy says, look, have fun, be safe, use common sense, and don't be the guy that makes us have to update our policies.
Don't be the reason why.
Yeah, don't be that guy. We all know how to have fun and how to do this right. So just if you use your common sense, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. So anything else you could advise for those people that are going to be hitting the trail on San Diego Day?
Just plan on having fun. I think if this is your first con, and I actually know several people who are coming even from far away, and it's their first con or so, this has actually been something in my mind. Just enjoy it. It's like, don't try not to set expectations, because if you've never been to a con, you honestly just don't know what to expect. So just be open, come, and just be part of the environment and kind of go where your gut tells you. You know, follow your heart, and if you want to hang out with the exhibitors, if you want to get autographs with the celebrities, if you want to just go sit in our social lounge, we have a social lounge, grab a pint and just kick back for a while, go do that.
Okay, sounds like a plan. Okay, so there's very much a sci-fi theme running through the con. You're a sci-fi fan yourself. That shouldn't dissuade anybody who's not of the sci-fi ilk.
No, not at all. We've got people who are gamers, right? Lots of gamers coming. People who love Pokemon or Magic the Gathering. We, like I said earlier, we've got a room set aside for gaming. So if you're a big gamer, come do that. If you're a cosplayer, come do that. We've got panel talks that they have nothing to do with sci-fi necessarily. I've got the chief brand officer from Insomniac Games, who's doing the new Spider-Man game on PS4. He's going to be down if E3 doesn't kill him this week. He's going to be down and kind of talk a little about his life and career and things that have inspired him, mm-hmm. that while they tangent into the video game realm, also he's going to touch upon how that's impacted him to become an Ironman athlete and go pursue his passions. Because whatever your fandom is, whether it's anime, manga, gaming, whatever, there's some sort of passion behind it. And so part of his talk is really going to focus on inspiration and passion and how you can help identify that and bring it out in yourself. So, you know, you don't have to be a sci-fi fan to appreciate that.
Okay, good. I like the fact that you've kind of tried to incorporate the things that you're passionate about as well as other things that would appeal to other people. And I have to say, I absolutely love the idea that it's a mid-tier con, because I go to cons over here, and I go to comic book marts, which are just like great big hotel rooms with people selling boxes and boxes of comics. Mm. And I'll just walk in and sometimes I'm a confident guy, but I just think, you know what, I just can't be bothered to like go elbow to elbow with people over a Batman comic or whatever. It just doesn't engender any fun for me. So I like the fact that you kind of recognize that San Diego might be a little bit too big for its boots. Is that a fair assessment to say?
It is. I mean, the big cons, to be fair, and I go to them too still, even if I complain about them a little bit.
You're doing research.
It is. It's a work expense. I can write it off. It's still fun, and there's a lot of energy by having a lot of people who share that same passion around you. That's why people want to crowd into Hall H at Comic-Con and see that Marvel panel or see that DC panel. Is there's just this intense passion and this amazing energy in that type of environment. So those are great and fantastic, but there's that flip side where maybe it's too much. As you said, it's like, it's so much hassle. I don't want to wait in line for 36 hours to get in there. I just can't be bothered. So, you know, we're not going to get to that size. We don't intend to compete with San Diego Comic Con. That's not our mission. Our mission is to create a different experience. So designing this from a experiential perspective, what is the experience of somebody as they walk in and get registered? Once they register, where do they want to go? What's that going to look like, feel like? So we're really kind of taking that critical eye and designing this from an attendee's perspective. How will this be comfortable, fun, accessible, and have those little extra things, those little details that will make some really good memories, that will make you feel good and positive and ideally go, hey, I can't wait for next year. That'd be fantastic, by the way.
Is that so your long-term plan is to sustain the con this year, then continue to do that for a set period of time?
As long as people enjoy it, yeah. I mean, this is by no means a one and done. We've got a 3 to 5 year business plan for now. And, you know, we're just going to have to get a couple under our belt to see where it goes from there. But this is, you know, the plan is this is a long-term thing. This is year one of many.
Do you have visions of moving to other cities to try and give that same sort of intimate experience to fans of other areas? Because I know places like Boston have their own, like, Boston Pond and so on and so forth.
Well, it's.
How do you feel? Is that down the line?
It's funny you mention that, because I've had people from other cities that I either know or know through other people, as they've discovered Intergalacticon and kind of we've talked about, they're like, oh my God, you have to bring that to Salt Lake. We need this kind of thing here, or Seattle or Atlanta. But you know, there's going to be those population centers where that there's going to be more of that pent up demand because they have something big that's gotten too big. And people want something else. So, yeah, I mean, you could kind of look at the website address, you know, intergalacticonsd.com, and imagine there could be other website addresses that are other than SD in the future.
Excellent. Very good. Okay. So, it starts Friday night for the VIP. Are the VIP tickets still available?
There are still some available. Yes, it's going to be an amazing party. It's San Diego, so we're holding it outside. It's getting under some lovely palm trees, some nice background music, some nice lighting. There'll be a red carpet, photo opportunities. The speakers and celebrities are invited, and several of them have confirmed that they're coming. So it's kind of a chance to hobnob with, you know, Hollywood's rich and famous, as it were. And it wouldn't be a VIP party if it weren't open bar, so.
Whoa, you didn't say that in an early email.
Well, you know, surprise. Hi. Oh, yeah. If you gotta do a VIP party, you gotta do it right, yeah.
Do not tell my wife. She is like the queen of the open bar. God damn it. I'm glad I'm safe. I'm safe on the other side of the Atlantic. I am safe.
Oh, for this year, yeah.
Yeah. Watch out for Intergalacticon. UK.com.
it's funny because when I was working with my design agency, I told them, you know, the long term plans would be, you know, expand into other cities over time. They did actually mock up a logo that says Intergalacticon London.
There you go.
One day.
Definitely. So VIP tickets are available on the website.
They're on the website, or we should still have enough that you can show up on site and buy them in person.
Cool. Excellent. So VIP tickets, does that cover you for the Friday night as well as the Saturday, or is it just two different ticket prices?
No, one ticket for the whole con.
All right, okay, cool. So let me just find out as I'm flicking through your site at the moment. So the VIP ticket is $90.
Yep.
Yep. And that's access to the Friday night VIP open bar party. Receive one exclusive free gift.
Yes.
Reserve seating for keynote and panel talks, one free party pass allowing you to bring a friend to the after party, and party pass does not allow admission to the con during the day.
Right.
So that's your friend for the after party, but you can go to the con itself.
Absolutely.
Citizen ticket is $50. Again, you can buy at the door.
Yep. We got plenty.
As well as going. Yeah, cool. And that is pretty much your Saturday from 9 a.m. till all the way through to the after party.
Yeah.
It's going to end sometime on Monday, right?
It might for some people. That's true. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Any other sort of ticket prices that we need to go over?
We've got kids tickets for $10. We do have that party pass. So, you know, we threw the party pass in there. Like, if you can make the con, but maybe it's not, you know, the thing for your girlfriend, but she wants to come to the party, then you've got an option to get her in without having to pay full price. So.
Cool. So just for the record, I could buy a pass to go to the con and the after party, and I can leave my wife at home. So the bar and everybody else who wants to drink at the bar will feel they've got a benefit.
Yeah,
I'm betting my wife is such a bad picture.
I'm sure she's
going to kill me. Yeah, she's crap. She's great. She is. She's class. But she is going to kill me for some reason. All right. Excellent. Okay. Anything else before we go, Steve, that you want to say about your con, about Intergalactic Con, about the guests you've got coming, about your exhibitions, and so on?
You know, I've probably covered all of it. But I'm really happy with the team we've put together. We've gotten people who come from all the different demographics to provide input on not just the programming, but the details of trying to make this a better experience. That's really been our prime focus. Is this isn't just a con that you attend and show up to. It's something that you can come and participate in if you so desire. Not everybody is extraordinarily participatory. But if you want to jump in on the workshops or play a card game or just sit back, or, you know, even to the point that we did set aside a rather large amount of space as a social lounge, as a place to come, you know, buy a pint, grab a burger, and sit down at a table. I can't tell you how many times I've been to a big con and you go spend your $20 on a burger and a Coke, and then you turn around and there's literally nowhere to sit. Yeah. And people just end up sitting on the floor in the hallway in a corner. And that's sad. That hurts my heart. So we have a room for that. And we're bringing in sofas. So if you want to be comfortable, come sit on the sofa. Check out the merchandise, you know.
Cool. It sounds great. You know what? It's such a simple idea. Even when I go and I'm buying loads of, like, comics to fill in my gaps, sooner or later I've got a wad of comics and I'm thinking to myself, have I just bought this somewhere else? I need somewhere where I can go and, like, recatalog and recheck just to double-check the gaps and so on and so forth. A lounge would be a great place where you can just sit down, take a load off for 10 minutes, have a pint or whatnot, have a burger, and then just re-energize yourself and go for it. So
yeah.
I wish more people thought like that.
You're right. It's such a simple idea, but, you know, it's like you talking about going to the big Comic Cons where, you know, you're just elbow to elbow with everybody. And so some of these con companies just try and utilize every single square inch of space for commercial business, maybe. And they, yeah. I don't think they put enough thought into the experience for attendees. So that's where I'm trying to help out.
That is a great shout. And you know what? That is a great way to end the interview. Steve Kirk, putting the fans first at the Intergalactic Con. This weekend starts Friday, goes through Saturday, party till it's Monday if you feel like it. If you've got a time machine, job's yours. Steve, thank you very much for taking time out of one of your 27 hours of today to speak to me. I really do appreciate this. If you're in the San Diego area or if you're in the California area, make the trek, make the effort. Cons like this don't come around that often. It's a chance for you to enjoy the con experience without having to deal with the crush and without having to deal with the masses. Go there, have a great weekend. Drop a contact to the Intergalactic Con SD website with your comments afterwards. You can always contact me at JohnnyHughes70 as well as UCPN and OTP with your comments, and we will pass them on. So once more, Steve, thank you very much for taking the time out. Really do appreciate it.
Johnny, thanks so much. And I wouldn't be a true Star Wars fan if I didn't say, may the Force be with you.
And you.
Visit UndercoverCapes.com for the latest and greatest podcasts via the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Also visit our parent company website, ComicCrusaders.com, all about comic pop culture.